The Hive on Kaya 959.
The Hive with me, Bonolo Beasting, right here on Kaya 959 on the street, on the air. Now, my question for you, what would you do with 350 rands? Well, right next to me, I have got a businessman and author, Kabelo Ntshulo, who is giving us a sneak peek into this wonderful book, How I Made My Dream Life with Only 350 rands. How are you, Ra?
Hey, kiten tlele kai.
Riteng, thank you so much for coming through, man.
I really appreciate the invitation. So we will miss such a good, great platform, in fact.
Lovely stuff. Kabelo, in your book, you speak about opportunities that you saw when you were young, with the matric farewell. Yeah. How important is it for children to understand the value of money?
I think it's something that needs to be taught, but most importantly, you take me how I started my business, which is, 20 years back, the year 2001, over 20 years back now. Mm. I started my business being moved by discomfort, right? I didn't know at the time, and in fact, I always say this, that if someone came to me and say, then I will be who I am today, I will say to you, you're crazy, or I would totally dismiss you from the onset. Because opportunities comes in a format of discomfort. So I was a waiter, came to Joburg to study medicine, and I realized that this is not my career of choice. Just working as a waiter, I had my matric farewell a previous year, which was the year 2000, and just working there and seeing other the restaurant that you're working at hosting matric farewells, and I was like, it's not, because of they booked one section of the restaurant and I was on the other section of the restaurant. I always say this, it was over 20 of us as a staff within the restaurant, but I was feeling discomfort alone. Why? Because of I knew something better can be done. And based on that, this is how I got it. And I think that if the youth based or the youth and the children or us as South Africa, if we could be given that confidence, you know, you take your children that are based at the advantage or advantage schools and advantage geographical area, and those that are in a township and rural area, you can get a sense of discomfort from confidence level that they do not have confidence. So it's difficult for them to pop into or step into an era of opportunities because of they already have that self-doubt. And with confidence, you are able to become anything you want. And that's why your career, you go to the first world, people are able to make money from creative space. You are not just directed into one sphere of the career choice could be this. And it all comes from the curriculum, the quality of education that has been given to these children, that is able to propel you to that. So you go to England, and that time I was very embarrassed to be a waiter. But if you travel, you go to England, people appreciate being waiters because it's a format of earning your living.
Yeah,
and you can be something from that type of wherever you find yourself. But now we don't want to choose certain type of work to really instill discipline. To give you an instance, right? How I run my business, I'm running it through the very same teachings and learnings that I learned from being a waiter. As a waiter, you provide a good service, you get a tip. In business, you provide a good service, you get to be paid for it. So that's what I learned.
Now, talking about business, as the CEO of your self-management, being an entrepreneur in South Africa is an extreme sport. Especially right now, currently we're dealing with petrol hikes, we're dealing with load shedding. What has been your recipe for success?
I think, one, it's consistency. And I think, personally, this is how I view it. We think entrepreneurship as, we don't see entrepreneurship, in fact, as a career. The moment entrepreneurs starting to envision entrepreneurship as a career, then we are in one step in the right direction. And I will make an example, right? we get into entrepreneurship, especially from, if we speak from Black's perspective, to survive. I got into entrepreneurship to survive. I was a waiter. I saw discomfort. But at the end of the day, I needed to pay rent. I needed to look good. So it was moved by survival. The motivation of my entrepreneurship was not right. Most entrepreneurs, they get into entrepreneurship for them to survive, to at least be able to have some sort of recognition. And that's why you will find out that majority of entrepreneurs, even from educational level, they have not went higher from education's perspective. And the moment we can have a different mind shift where we see it as a career, and personally, I feel like and also goes to quality of education as well, where high school curriculum needs to start introducing business studies. So that when kids finished already, they have business studies. So what makes countries like China's really do well is because of when the child finished their matric, they already got some sort of an intro to do business. And that's why entrepreneurship in that level does well. So we becoming entrepreneurs, we don't invest in terms of acknowledging, acquiring knowledge, which is going to school, learning about business and fears of business. So it's survival. And that's why the high rate, in fact, there's a study or report that was released by one of the bank and claiming that the 2 years, in first 2 years of businesses or small business being opened by SMMEs, 80% of small business owned by Black people, they actually die off. And why? We get into survival. You got a project. You got a tender. But you don't see it being a business. And for you to sustain it in business, you need to invest on knowledge. You then need to understand what is business. Business as systems, business as everything. You need to aspire to run whatever business as it is as a corporation. But you also get into denial. And I wrote about it in the book where I was just talking about how sometimes we can take so much out of a business. Maybe first 2 years of it being there, we start making money. Then we take a lot out of it instead of investing back into it. And invest in terms of acquiring knowledge for you as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, to say, how then can you really be able to drive this organization? You learn or you go through my book, you realize that I had an opportunity to make money. I think at 26, I made my first million. I was doing so well. 2 years, I lost everything. And I actually got depressed based on that. And I remember my mentor coming back to me and says, Kabelo, out of your 24 years of life, all you know was poverty. You taste money for 2 years and you think this is you. That it actually led you to a moment where you're feeling depressed, and that's not you. But she said to me, Michelle Combrick, she said to me something that still reflects with me till today, was the reason why you have failed is because of you didn't have any dreams beyond surviving. So you get into business to survive. Now the business is able to buy you a car. It's able to get you a home in and some estate. It's able to afford you the now, the luxuries, the short-term goal. Now, you don't have anything, desire, the hunger to go forward. And he said to me, as a business person, the day you sit down and start to envision your business turning 50 years, that's a goal. So take a step back and say, business that are 50 years old, and take a benchmark and case study and says the business that are 10 in 50 years, how do they look? Entrepreneurs, we are solution driven. Countries like China, unemployment is high because of entrepreneur is not surviving in our country. We are the people that that contribute over 60% of the working force. It's coming from small businesses, SMMEs. Employment. So when entrepreneurship is not doing well, you will see with a high turnover rate of unemployment. That is a fact. Secondly, and what leads to that is short term, because of we don't build businesses to survive, to leave a legacy. We build tuck shop, what I call it, something that needs to serve me now, and that's it. If for now, then I would have another business and so on. So when you are faced with climate conditions such as your COVID, the failures, it's difficult to quit on your vision because of you climatize with it. You will have a long-term vision. Mm. You will have that vision of turning your... I mean, I have a vision of 2054. I even know when will my business be 50 years old. 2054. So 2054 is the one that guides me. When I was doing well with my business, starting being an agency in Joburg, I started being like, why I can't have an office in Cape Town? I planted an office in Cape Town because of... It then took me back to... when I started with the one in Joburg.
Yeah.
Done the same in Cape Town, then why I can't do the same thing in Durban? Now, I was able to say, I have the full presence in South Africa.
Yeah.
Who are my competitors? My competitors compete with me from a perspective of SADC. And that's why we then saw the need to plant an office in Namibia, saw the need to plant an office in Zambia. We are in talks now to really have a partnership in Nigeria, have a partnership in Kenya. Why? Because of the whole idea here is you are driving towards that 50-year vision where you want to see your business surviving 50 years. You are driving a legacy. You just don't want to get a business that serves you, that serves other people, creating employment.
Mm.
And thirdly, you are also creating something that is bigger than you. Now, in my business, I'm forced to go back to school, going back and says it's an entrepreneurship. Because of the more your business grows, you then have to get people. You got businesses like in five regions. You need to install systems that communicate with each other. You then need to get skilled management. How do you lead people when you as a leader, you got limitations from a skills perspective? That's why. And it's always going to be like that. Each and every era, every decade, we would have imbalances of the climate changes or the changes that comes in. But it's the lack of vision, a long-term vision, because of what we do as entrepreneurs. We are in it for the short term. We are in it to survive.
Now, talking about survival, in your book, there's no way we are not going to talk about the Rick Ross drama. But for me... in what's most important, what lesson did you learn from that whole experience?
It was a great lesson. And going back to planning, you know, in life, in my business, and I was, I'm not a born entrepreneur. I'm a made entrepreneur. And when I mean by made entrepreneur, I survived with having mentorship, having people that have walked the path like before me. And to me, it's very important just to be able to instill myself. So I will take you what made me survive that tenor. We lost a lot of money as a business, but there was a plan for it. Have the whole Rick Ross event that actually cost us quite a lot for a business, $7 million to be exact, not had been part of the plan, the business would have closed. But we, going back to the 50-year plan, we sit and we then have to strategize to say that currently as a marketing agency, what we're working on, we then saw, okay, this is what is working for us and we need to invest on our acquiring or having our own concept. And this was one of it. It was one of the leg that we knew, like, it's more likely to give us a return, not immediate return, but the return in the next 5 years. However, with this one, we get too excited with it, right, in the approach and me being involved and so forth. And that's why it led to, I felt like the speed of the car. I always take it with how it is. It's you getting into like a very, like a car that is speeding. And when it get a puncture, it caused an accident, but we survived. And part of the things that made me as a leader to survive with it was, as entrepreneurs, it's very key to look after your mental state. Since 2015, I have a full-time therapist, which is a psychologist. One, you're an entrepreneur, anybody in the corporate world, you deal with rejection. You deal with things. And still remember, I had... I think session that was dealing with, say, Kabelo, what would you do when you are faced with fear, with failure? Most people, that we fail because of we see failure as a down moment. But we should actually celebrate we are failures because of through failure you learn. So that happened when I was not, my frame of mind was not in rejections to be associated with failure. It's okay for Kabelo to be associated with failure. And you know what? Because of failure gives you an opportunity to rise back. I always say that take a tennis ball, the harder it hits the ground, the higher it will go.
Hey.
So there were key learnings in terms of what you do. There were red flags that me as a leader and the people surrounding me, they have came through and advised. And at the time, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a goal-getter. It looked like a very good opportunity. We have tickets sold. And the key thing was we were in a partnership where I have not invested enough time to do my risk analysis with a partner that we were actually bringing this mega superstar here. And this is where everything went on. And that's why I can't blame it on anybody. I have to take responsibility to say I got into a partnership with someone that I did not know from the bath soap. And without me really doing a proper research, it led me into paying the school fees that I did. And that was it. And anybody who is within this platform, always invest in time. Time, knowing what you're getting yourself to. Because if you don't invest time, you're going to lose, you're going to invest with your money. And that was the key learning that I learned.
Now, you spoke about mental wellness. And currently in South Africa, I think a lot of our black brothers are going through quite a lot of challenges with mental wellness. And you're a family man. You speak about your family quite a lot in the book. How important is mental wellness for you and also having your family there with you?
You see, I think two things that, and I felt, like I said to you, 2009 was one of my hardest years because of I lost everything. I talked about it in the book. And I got into, I couldn't, at the time, like the more I'm starting to research in terms of the depression, then I realized that was a depression. But it's more to do with we are aligned over vanity than sanity. You see, we invest so much into the peripheral things. And it's expected because of it's the new things to happen for us as black people. Most of us, as Kabelo, it's the first time for you to be where you are, first time to run a successful business, be accepted and whatnot. So that it's also clouding us believing into vanity. That serves us because of we're not into realistic. And I say that it does not matter who you are. There are four seasons in life, and something that I was always being taught that when you're going through your summer, don't think that winter is not gonna come. Doesn't matter. It's a that's the universal law. When everything is going your way, there will be a time that things are gonna go wrong. But sometimes people get in denial that things are always going to be okay for a very long time. And when winter comes into their face, then they still wear summer clothes and it's winter. Then you can imagine the disconnection of that. And that is actually what is going on. And some of our people as well, they've went through a tough time, which is a winter period, for too long that even when it's summer, they don't see. They always have that jacket to say, hey, it's like so hot. But the mentality, it says to them, they might be. So you don't invest in terms of mental awareness. We don't invest in rational thinking, critical thinking, critical analysis of things. We are always the victims. You talk to anybody, we are the victims. But we don't take responsibility. And we want to be leaders in one account. And one of the characteristics of a leader is to take account. I have so many points talking about the recross and whatnot. And for me to come out of it was to me to take a responsibility and apologize to my team.
Yeah.
My staff was not paid for December 2019 as a result of these casualties. And I had to step up and say, I do apologize for this and take full responsibility.
Mm.
Because me pointing a finger at someone, this, while I was a cause, I was a decision maker, I was doing that. The more we take full responsibility that where we are as people, chances are 90% of where we are is as a result of the decisions that you have made yesterday. The decision that you are making today is going to tell you how your tomorrow is going to look like. What you invest your time on now, you will get your return tomorrow. You don't invest your time in acquiring knowledge, you invest your time in sanity, you will get sanity tomorrow. You invest your time in vanity today, you will get vanity tomorrow. And we don't have that frank discussion and talk to say we are where we are based on the decisions we have made. We don't save. How do we then expect to survive
the winter season?
The winter season, when the winter season comes and we don't save. We don't understand value for money. When you have 10,000 rand, 100 rand is still 100 rand. So we still don't understand the value and what money is. How then, when you are hit by winter season, how would you go back and understand 100 rand? And you have to look back and say, 100 rand is still 100 rand. I've been modeled to try to say, it's not how much money I make in my life that makes me who I am, but how much difference I make. And as an entrepreneur, you have to have this thing that it's possible that you can go up, all of us. And especially us as black people, that we can collaborate, work together. Your success, our success as entrepreneur, should not be a grave of someone. And that's how we do. Because of us going up, someone has to go down. That on its own, it's a challenge.
It's a problem, yeah.
It's a problem. And that's why as Africa, we cannot go forward. And united, understanding, and holding each other's hand, and having value, would literally be the only answer going forward. Because of, we were born with nothing. That's a fact. Our history supports us to say we should be able to survive. We survived the worst conditions other than what you're faced with. You know? Then it should not be that whatever situations that you're facing now, we find ourselves be thinking, this is the end. Our forefathers survived the worst. And that should be a learning for us. We should learn from the Jew. The Holocaust that the Jew, when a Jew person understands that to be a Jew, where you come from makes them who they are on a day to day. And our past apartheid system, colonial system, as blacks, as Africans, should be a motivating factor to say, COVID, whatever situations, it cannot. We have overcame the worst.
The worst, yeah.
So from mental awareness and all that, let's balance that first. Secondly, how do you become successful in the street and you're not successful at home? So that's my view. You can say anything about me at the street, but as long as my kids, I'm a role model to my kids first. When I was writing this book, I had my kids in mind. I didn't have someone on the street. I had my kids in mind. When I do things that models who I am, from my ethics to my principles, I have the people that when Kabelo is no more, they will be the one that will be affected the most, and they will be the one that will celebrate my life longer. Because someone on the street, they will just gonna remember me for a moment and their lives will go on. But my family, they will always carry my name with them. They will be the people that goes and visit my grave. And as people, we have lost that. We invested on the people that will not be with us forever, will not carry us forever. And this is where we're starting to be dysfunctional.
Kabelo Ntshulo, always chatting to you is there's always moments like, wow. The CEO of Yourself Management, thank you so much for coming to visit us right here on Kaya 959. And there you have it. It's his book, How I Made My Dream Life with Only 350 Rands. Thank you so much, Gabelo.
I appreciate it. Let me start. I mean, this book, when I was writing it, I know most people, they're thinking about the 350 grand.
Yeah.
They're like, no ways. I started, I mean, this is back then, 2001, like I did just alluded now. And it just to show something that you don't need much to start and be something. What you need, it's little that we have. And with it, I said, I want people to learn from my mistakes. That's why I'm not a hero in this book. I'm actually talking about my mistake. I'm talking about how my mother was working as a domestic worker, my childhood upbringing, issues that I had to deal with to make me who I am today. And the whole idea was, I want someone who is there, understand that one thing. If you are better than me, it's okay. Use that to be better than me. And as a motivating factor, and say, if Gabelo, with so much limitations, can achieve this, what about me with all the supporting structure and supporting system that I have? I can't achieve this? And if you find yourself someone who is same as like me, where probably in your family tree, you need to understand, I'm a product of the mother who had five kids not married. We don't know our father. So if you're coming from that product that you are at the bottom, you grow with relatives, you never had anything. And I lived everything, and today where I could say to you that I'm actually employing people. And what I'm simply saying to you, I didn't have to. I started with a half, and it is possible if you just put your focus that you can also achieve anything in this life.
Yeah.
All it does, it takes the mind.
You can achieve anything if you just focus on it and put your mind to it. Thank you so much, Gabelo.
Thank you so much.
This is The Hive on Kaya 959, on the street and on the air.
On the street. On the air with Bonolo Beasting.